Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Thursday, April 11th. How do you react to criticism? Does it stir up resentment or even anger? For believers in Jesus, it doesn't have to be that way. Find out how to handle criticism as a positive step to facing life's obstacles.
How do you respond when someone praises you? How do you respond when they criticize you? Well, the way you and I respond to either one of these tells us a lot about ourselves, or at least tells other people something about us. When you respond to criticism in the right way, it can develop you, strengthen you, build you up. When you respond to criticism in the wrong way, you lose opportunity. And oftentimes you may miss what God is trying to say to you. There are many verses in the scripture that tell us how very important it is that you and I learn how to respond to criticism and praise. So what I want you to do is I want you to turn to a couple of verses in a moment. These all come out of the Living Bible translation, and they're all true. It's just a lot simpler. Listen to this. Proverbs 10:17. Anyone willing to be corrected is on the pathway to life. Anyone refusing has lost his chance. Proverbs 13:18. If you refuse criticism, you'll end in poverty and disgrace. If you accept criticism, you're on the road to fame. Proverbs 15:31-32. If you profit from constructive criticism, you'll be elected to the wise men's hall of fame. But to reject criticism is to harm yourself and your own best interest. Don't refuse to accept criticism. Get all the help you can. It's a badge of honor to accept valid criticism. That's Proverbs 23:12 and 25:12. Then 28:13. A man, of course, or a woman, who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. Proverbs 29:1. The man who is often reproved but refuses to accept criticism will suddenly be broken and never have another chance. Now, that's rather powerful. And what you find here, you find all of these warnings about the right response to praise and criticism. Now, if that's something that happened to us every once in a while, that would be one thing. But the truth is, all of us have to deal with it. We have to deal with praise with some people. We have to deal with criticism from some other people. Sometimes both from the same person. It may be that you live with someone who is very critical, or someone who just thinks you're heaven sent. Whatever it may be, it is just as important to learn how to respond to one of them as it is the other. So let's begin, if you will, let's begin with this whole issue of responding to criticism. How should we respond to criticism? Now, let's agree on this. It doesn't make any difference who it comes from. It doesn't make any difference who it comes through. It doesn't make any difference if it's valid criticism or invalid, if it's true or untrue, if it comes from an angry person or one that's trying to help you. How do you and I respond in a godly fashion to criticism? So let's talk about, first of all, the wrong ways. This is how you do not respond to criticism. And the first simple answer is this. You don't get angry. You don't become angry. You say, well, but if I just can't help it, then hold it in. Don't show anger if someone is criticizing you and you may feel it. Secondly, don't allow yourself to be defensive. Don't begin to defend yourself, especially even before you've heard it all. And sometimes when somebody comes on strong and criticizes, our defenses start rising and, you know, we can just feel it coming on. We get ready to have an attack. Well, what's happened is we're not listening any longer. We're building our defense while they're talking. And a third thing that we do not want to do, and that is to attack. In other words, if somebody says, well, let me tell you something that I see in you that I think you need to deal with. Well, let me just tell you something. I've seen a few things in you, and what I've seen in you, and I mean you're just on the attack, the war zone. What happens is you've ceased to listen. You don't even know where they're coming from necessarily, and it's a bad testimony. You're a child of God. The Bible says we're to love each other. Well, that doesn't mean unless I'm attacked. Oh, yes, it does. And so this is the wrong way. And then, of course, you may respond in this way. You may respond by being absolutely silent and totally ignore them. In other words, to be silent and ignore them says to them, I have no sense of value in what you're saying to me. I do not consider what you're saying important, and therefore I don't consider you important. And so, of course, one way to respond is fearfully, oh, my goodness, what's going on now? I'm going to lose my job or whatever it might be. And then another way to respond, which is the wrong way, is just pout. Don't you hate pouting? Because it's the person who sulks, and they won't tell you what they feel, and they're just sort of angry on the inside, or they misunderstood, and they just go around moping. That's not the way you respond to criticism. Just face it, and let's deal with it. I'm going to show you in a few moments how we deal with it. So all of those are the wrong ways to deal with someone's criticism. So we have to ask the question is this. Why do people respond that way? Why does a person just want to get on the defensive and want to attack? Well, one of the primary reasons is a poor self-image. Let's say, for example, that you grew up in a home where the husband and wife or the mother and the father, they were at it at each other all the time. He's always criticizing her and she's always criticizing them. And then you, as a child growing up, you just sort of got the spillovers. And that is, when they got tired of criticizing one of them, each other, they dumped it on you. And so you grew up in an atmosphere of criticism. Not praise, but criticism. Nothing was ever right by one of them. So what happens? If you grew up in that kind of atmosphere, that's just the part of your thinking. And so you probably said, well, I'll never do that. Don't say that. Think positive, not what you'll never do, but what you're going to do. And so many people grow up in an atmosphere of criticism rather than praise, and it's just a part of the way they think. That's the environment. And interesting enough, it becomes an environment they seem to be comfortable with because that's what they grew up with. That is not the way you respond, but one of the primary reasons is a poor self-image. A second reason is this, and that is the feeling of insecurity. When a person is just insecure anyway, they're insecure maybe about their marriage, about their schooling, about their relationships, about their job, they just feel insecure, I'm not sure I'm measuring up, then you come along and criticize them, all you're doing is just dumping fuel, just dumping gasoline on the little smoldering embers down here that just burn all the time anyway. Well, I knew somebody was going to get on my case. Well, you don't have to respond that way, but oftentimes that's the way people respond. And if a person is insecure, almost any kind of criticism is like fuel on the burning embers because they just sort of live with that. If you're insecure, nothing is exactly settled, and any kind of criticism, of course, just feeds the fact that, well, you know, I'm not what I ought to be. I wish I could be better, but I'm not. I've done my best, and I'm being criticized. Very, very devastating to a person who doesn't know how to handle criticism. Then, of course, another reason is perfectionism. You say, well, nobody's perfect. Here's what perfectionism is. Perfectionism doesn't mean that you are perfect or that you're sinless or that you always do things just right. Doesn't mean that you always say the right thing. Perfectionism is a form of enslavement. That means you have set your standard so high that anything less than perfect is unacceptable to you. And what you don't realize is if you set your standard for perfection, because even that oftentimes is a sense of insecurity, you're going to do it exactly right. Well, all of us make mistakes. All of us blow it at times, and all of us, we sin, and we have to deal with these things, and so we're not perfect. So when you set your standard to perfection, you have enslaved yourself, and when you do that, and somebody comes along and criticizes you, everything in you rises for this reason. You say, well, now wait a minute. I do my best. I give it my best, and you do. I give it my best. I do my best. I want to look my best. I try my best. Now, what are you doing criticizing me when, listen, I give it my best. I can't do any better. And when I've done my very best at everything, and you come along and you see a person who lives up here in an unreal world, they can't respond right. For the simple reason, here's what they do. They take your criticism. It may be helpful criticism. It may come from a heart of genuine love. You may appreciate them for many other things. But when they hear you criticize them, they interpret that as you criticizing their personhood, their character. Now watch this carefully. It's one thing for someone to criticize your work, your labor, or some action or something that you say. It's something else to criticize your personhood, your character. That's what you are. So you and I have to be sure that we understand what's going on when somebody is criticizing us. And so if a person is a perfectionist, they just can't handle criticism when they have done their very best. Now watch this. A perfectionist oftentimes is also a procrastinator. And here's the reason. If they can't do it perfect, they'll excuse themselves for not getting the job done. I've seen this over and over and over again. If I can't do it perfect, I'm not going to do it. And they don't say that. But what they do, they procrastinate. Put it off, put it off, put it off. I'm going to do one of these two. Put it off, put it off, put it off until I can do it absolutely perfect. Oftentimes, they're procrastinators, and that's what generates the sense of criticism, which may be the whole attitude is a matter of helping that person understand why they procrastinate. Then, of course, there's the whole issue of just pure old sinful pride. Arrogance and pride. One of the reasons that people cannot accept criticism is they have this pride, this ego, this arrogance about them. They're important. They're superior. What are you doing down there looking up and criticizing me? Well, you see, God says, well, maybe we better look at a couple of verses here because God makes it very clear in the 29th chapter of the Proverbs. Look there for a moment, if you will. 29th chapter and the 23rd verse, and listen to what he says. He says, now, when the Bible says a man, we're talking about men and women. A man or woman's pride will bring him or her low. That is, it will damage you in some fashion. But a humble spirit obtains honor. Now go back to the 16th chapter for a moment and look, if you will, in the 18th verse and look what the scripture says. Well, let's go to the 5th verse first. 16 verse 5. Everyone who's proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. That means he just doesn't like it. It sort of smells to him. Verse 18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before stumbling. God's warnings to us about pride and arrogance. So if a person cannot accept criticism, it's for one of those primary reasons. And so you look at your own life and you ask yourself the question, well, can I accept criticism? Is it possible? In other words, can I not? And if not, is it one of these reasons? And if it is, listen, watch this carefully. That doesn't make you necessarily a sinner. What it says is there's something in your life that you need to examine. When somebody criticizes me, does my childhood rise up in me and want to defend myself? When my father would criticize my mother and it hurt me so deeply, and I see somebody else doing that, just rise up in me. Ask yourself the question, why? Is it because of my self-image? Is it because of my insecurity? Is it because of my pride? Why do I do it? Now, what's the proper response to criticism? Now, you want to jot these down. What's the proper response? Remember what he said. Doesn't make any difference where it's coming from. Because sometimes criticism may come through your enemy, but God is allowing him to say it because it's something he wants to get your attention about. So it has nothing to do with the source. It has to do with how we respond. So what's a proper way to respond? Here's the first thing you do. You listen attentively and carefully. You listen to what they're saying attentively and carefully. Because what you want them to know is, I value you enough that I'm hearing what you're saying. Attentively and carefully. Number two, you look them right in the eye and you keep quiet. You're silent. Hear them out. Hear them out. No matter what's going on, what you want to do is you want to hear them out. So quietly, silently, attentively, you listen to them. Look at it. Look them in the eye. Now ask yourself this question. Is this a valid criticism? Is what I'm hearing, is this true of me? Be open. Is this true of me? Another question you might ask is God trying to say something to me? I may not like it. Oh, God, I may not like it. But Lord, are you trying to say something to me? And sometimes he will answer that quickly. Is God trying to say something to me? Remember now, you're listening carefully. And you're silent. You're not defending yourself. You're not attacking back. In other words, you are allowing them to say whatever they need to say. And your response is, thank you very much for bringing this to my attention. And you may say, I'm going to consider what you're saying to me. Now, sometimes that's the right answer for this reason, that what they're accusing you of may not be true. But you're saying to them, I'm going to consider what you're saying to me. And I appreciate you bringing it to my attention. And if it's a valid criticism, here's what you do. You say to them, I really appreciate you bringing this to my attention, and I need to ask you to forgive me. If you can't ask for forgiveness, then there's something deeply wrong inside. It says that your pride has overtaken your relationship to God. Because all of us make mistakes. We hurt people, don't even mean to. We make responses sometimes that are not the proper response. And so what we have to do is ask God to forgive us, and then we ask the person to forgive us. And then we may say to them, appreciate you bringing this to my attention, and I will do my best to not let it happen again. It depends on what it is. You see, every single time what you're doing is you are expressing value in the fact that this person was willing to confront you. Now, if it's something that you have done wrong, then you ask for forgiveness and say, you know, I'm going to do my best to do better. If it's something that they've accused you of that you're not guilty of, remember what you said. You said, I'm going to consider what you're saying. And so you are placing value on that person, especially if they do this in a very gentle spirit. Well, I appreciate that very much, and thank you. And then you might say to them, well, is there anything else? Now, especially if somebody's getting on your case about something and coming on strong and they just letting you have it, and you're sitting there and you're being very quiet, and when they finish just blaring at you, you simply say, is there anything else? And that's the right answer, because sometimes they're dumbfounded by that, because first of all, they've expected you to get angry and you haven't. They expected you to defend yourself and you haven't. They expected you to verbally attack them, and you haven't. And so what you've done is you've responded in a godly fashion, and you're simply saying, is there anything else? And then you might say to them, I appreciate this because this is going to give me an opportunity to grow in my Christian life. Now, think about this. If you respond in the right way, and what they say is just invalid as it could be, it's not something you did, and you say to them, this is going to give me an opportunity to grow in my Christian life. You say, well, what does that mean? Here's what it means. By your being able to withstand an onslaught of criticism, and you very courageously, boldly, submissively to the Father, do not blare back. Do not defend yourself. Don't attack them. What's happened is you're learning something about yourself, that God has worked in you such a spirit that you can take an onslaught of criticism and you don't have to blare back. You don't have to defend yourself. And what you've done, you have demonstrated to the other person a very godly spirit. And what you've said to them, because you see they're standing there getting on your case and wondering, why don't you act like they know they would act if you did that to them? And they can't figure out, how can you be so quiet while all this is going on? And then when you say, well, is there anything else? That really buffaloes them, because they think, well, I've said everything I wanted to say. And they'll probably say, well, no, there's not. Or they may say, oh, yes, there's one other thing. Well, thank you very much. Because what you want them to do is to get it all out. And your response is going to be a loving response of receptivity, whatever it may be, right or wrong. It may be partially right, partially wrong. Doesn't make any difference. What you've done is you have dealt with criticism in such a way that God will honor you in the process, strengthen you, build you up, and enable you. And so that's the wrong way and the right way to deal with criticism.
Thank you for listening to Facing Criticism and Praise. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or InTouch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of InTouch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.